Hi, I'm Presence, I'm the host, and you're listening to the It Starts With Action podcast, where we talk all about action. Whatever goal you might have, the only way to get there is to take action. Yet I know there are people out there who have goals who aren't taking action. And to me, action means so much more than just doing the thing. To me, action means being aware, confident, tenacious, having intention, being open, and living in the present, as in now. And you're about to listen to an amazing action taker, someone who isn't afraid to take action to get to where they want to be. And my goal for each episode is for you to increase your level of action. So let's get into the episode, and don't forget to follow the podcast and leave a review after. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of It Starts With Action, and today I am super grateful to get to talk to Jeff today about the topic of leadership. I think this one is a very interesting topic, and especially for someone who never thought being super shy before, never really wanted to be any sort of leader. I know there are people out there who maybe don't believe they can be, and hopefully after this podcast you'll realize that everyone can be. But first off, I'm really interested to listen to your story in terms of how you went from, as you said, like childhood poverty to now being a leadership coach and having a lot of experience in Fortune 500 space.
Yeah, it was quite a journey, Presence. It was, you know, my story, you know, when you look back on it and you think, sometimes I reflect on, boy, how did we get here? But to give you a little bit of a backstory, my parents were both very, very ill my entire life. My mom was diagnosed with a disease called lupus when she was 10 years old, an autoimmune disease. And my dad was diagnosed with chronic osteoarthritis at the age of 12. How these two met each other is beyond me. I guess it was a misery loves company situation. But by the time I was born, my dad had to quit working. He was having multiple surgeries, specifically to his ankles. And so there the journey began. My mom was in and out of hospitals with surgeries, from having some organs taken out to both of my parents were amputees through infections. And so me and my brother spent the better part of our lives in and out of hospital rooms and roaming hospitals. We were a product of the system. We were on government support. And, you know, me and my brother, as young boys and teenagers even, we would always just talk about, you know, someday, we're going to make a big run at this and, you know, get a good job in a factory or a steel mill or something like that and try to take care of our parents. And, you know, who knew that a young boy from small town America that's uneducated with very little direction and two parents literally that are trying to survive could do what I've been able to do. Now, by no means am I the best thing ever or anything like that. But what I aim to do for the rest of my life is to inspire people that are maybe in that place that I was to say, look, if you apply the right principles, if you have the right motivation, and you get around the right people, you can literally do most anything you set your mind to do. Because my upbringing was a lot of humble beginnings. And as if the sicknesses weren't bad enough, that led to a lot of bad decisions, whether it was, you know, substance abuse or whatever it might be, infidelity, marriage issues. And that takes a toll on young people. And I have a real heart for young people. And if maybe you're a young person listening now, and that's you, I'm here to tell you that there is absolute hope. Or maybe you're that person that you're even older. It's never too late to start, and it's never too early to begin. These principles of success apply to everybody.
So what were the principles of success that led you to where you are?
You know, I'll tell you, I get asked that question a lot. And, you know, from that childhood, I guess I'll bring you up to speed of where I am and then I'll answer your question. So from that childhood, I was dysfunctional. I was getting into trouble. Yes, I was patriotic, but I did join the military because I was running from something, not to something. And I joined the United States Army. I knew it would maybe give me some structure. It would get me out of the environment that I was in. And upon my departure of being in the military, I was going to start college. And the benefit of the military is that it would help pay for college, which I knew wasn't going to be an option for me. And so I was going to be the first one in my lineage to get a college degree, and I was excited about that. But I was just a couple of weeks away from starting at university, and I got the call that I had gotten so many times from my dad, which was, they're sending mom home to die, and I need your help. And it was different this time because the reason my dad couldn't help was because that's when he was getting his leg amputated, and he was having a major surgery as well. And during that time, I just wanted a job. I didn't want to be a burden on my parents. And I found a job as a delivery driver at a large company. And 24 years later, I stayed with that company. I was promoted 12 times. And most recently transitioned from that company to start my own business. So along that journey, I had found a lot of success. And along the way, people would ask me, like you just asked me, Presence, what has led to that success? And at first, I would just give kind of fluffy answers. But then I realized, and I would say this to anybody out there that has had any level of success, we owe it to people to tell them how we got there. Because I think that's what helps with mentoring or coaching or leading is you can teach what you know, but you'll reproduce who you are. So your character and your ability to tell people how to win is important. And so for me, I really boiled that question down to three parts. What does it take to win is the question. What does it take to accomplish your goals? Now, there's books written about this. There's volumes of information out there, but I've boiled it down to three things. The first thing is to be accountable. Accountability is so important. The dream is not the problem. If we, Presence, if we were to poll 50 people, do you want to be successful? 100% say yes. Well, why is it that some people win and some people don't? Well, it really boils down to accountability. Everybody wants to win. Not everybody's willing to put in the work. Knowledge is something that will separate you from the pack. Knowledge and having answers to the biggest problems will elevate you. I call this disrupting the process. You have something that other people need, and that's a challenge. But we have to understand challenges need to be embraced on the journey to success, because you'll get paid in proportion to the problems that you can solve. So we have to embrace challenges and embrace sacrifice. But most people, to point number one, aren't willing to be accountable. Those that are willing to put in the time to know things that other people don't know so that they can provide answers to things that other people can't. And really, it boils down to this. It's going to boil down to being in one of four camps in your life. Camp one is, I hope it doesn't come up. Camp two is, if it comes up, I'll wing it. Camp three is, if it comes up, I'm ready to talk about it. But then, Presence, there's camp four. Camp four is, if it doesn't come up, I'm bringing it up. People that live in camp four have answers. Think about this. Think about somebody that is laying lifeless on the floor, and you know CPR. You would not hesitate for a second to go assist and help breathe life into that person. Why? Because you have an answer to their biggest problem. So you see, when we live in camp four, we now, if it doesn't come up, we bring it up. We see it as our duty and obligation to provide answers to the problems, whether that's in business, being a startup entrepreneur, whether it's in the corporate world, whatever it might be. When you are in a position that you can provide answers, it provides great value, great wealth, and great influence. The question is, so then why doesn't everybody do this? The answer is this. Most people aren't willing to give up what they want now for what they want most. What you want now is to take a nap. What you want now is to go hang out with your friends. What you want now is to enjoy the sun. What you want now is to go do an activity. The people that sacrifice that for what they want most realize that the long term is the biggest benefit. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So what do you then?
Say again.
What drives you to stay accountable? Because it's easier said than done, right? We know what we want, but then, you know, when your friend comes and say, we're going out, you know, do you want to come? You're like, oh, it's tempting. Like, what was it for you that was like, you're saying no to all the distractions?
That's a great question, which would be point two in the 3 points of what it takes to win. Point two is engage your motivation. You know, have you ever heard of these stories of a mom or somebody lifting a car off of somebody they love in a car accident or whatever it might be? And everybody would say, oh my gosh, it was a miracle. It's not even humanly possible to do that. You know, when your mind goes to a place that you attach the task to something that's important to you, you won't let hell or high water stop you from completing that task. You know, we hear Simon Sinek say it best when he says, people will work for their what, but they'll die for their why. You know, a lot of people do that. They'll work for their what, the new Gucci bag, the new Louis Vuitton purse, you know, the new shoes, the new car, even the new house. Those are all what's. But when you tie your motivation to something that matters deeply to you, I find that people that have a way of doing that typically are the ones that are willing to put in a little bit more effort. And for me, that's exactly what it was. I knew that the cards were already stacked against me. I was uneducated. Here I was trying to make it in corporate America, and here I was trying to climb the ranks and be a white collar type person. Well, hey, newsflash, I never owned a tie. I never saw my dad in a suit. I didn't know what collar stays were. I didn't know what fashion was. I didn't know how to look the part. I didn't know how to act the part. I didn't know what words to use. But I had this big dream of going to a place that I'd never been. And so I had to start educating, and it came with resistance. You know, I remember as a blue collar worker, as a truck driver, I wanted to be a salesperson. And I saw these salespeople were making great money and had great influence, and they talked fancy and they looked fancy. And I wanted that life for me, but I didn't have sales skill. But I thought my natural ability would get there. And I went to the interview to be a salesperson, and they told me fast, very quickly, you're not cut out for this. This isn't for you. You're not prepared. You can't even articulate the 6 steps to a sales process. And I had to make that drive home to tell my pregnant wife that I had been telling for weeks I was about to get this big promotion. I didn't get the job, and I let my team down. But then my motivation, one more time, it engaged. I'm not going back to that childhood. I'm not going back to that poverty. I'm going to make things different for my family. And so I enrolled in a sales class. I started reading books. I started getting mentors. And that came with resistance. I didn't know what clothes to buy, so I would get made fun of in the office. Again, I had to engage that motivation. I go to the first sales class. Everybody's dressed in 3-piece suits, and I'm wearing a t-shirt and my best jeans. Again, I had to push through that resistance. So I would tell you that one of the 3 things that we have to do on the journey to success is constantly be engaging our motivation. And those are the things that will push you through the valleys. Because success is uphill. It is uphill. It comes with resistance the whole way. And it's the people that face that resistance and push through it, because winning is attached to something that matters to them, are typically the ones that just simply won't quit. It's tough to beat somebody that just won't quit.
So in terms of resistance, what was the biggest resistance that you faced, that like you had to, the hardest challenge you had to face?
You know, for me, I think it was breaking out of the poverty mentality. You know, when it's all, is that you as well, Presence?
That's
it's like you live in that for so long that you can't even vision yourself being anybody else or being any other way. Or and quite frankly, I think we redefine what winning looks like. And I'll give you an example. I mean, when you grow up and the government is providing your food, your housing, and you don't have, you get to an age that you realize that you're wearing different clothes and different shoes, and you don't have the name brand this and the name brand that, and you're not going on, you know, trips like this and like that with other families, it starts to click that I'm different. And so you almost question, like, I guess this is just how life is. And so you set goals to make it better than it was. And that was a big mistake that I had. I remember buying my first new vehicle. I thought I had arrived in life. Like, I have a new car. We never had that growing up. We had, there were holes through it, rust. You know, we would go through 5, 6, 7 cars a year. We would use them for a little bit and take them, you know, and trash them because they were that bad. So I felt like when I had the ability to get my own apartment and buy my own brand new vehicle, I had arrived in life. And so one of the things that if I could do it over again, that I would, and that I would challenge everybody, is dream big. Dream really big, because it's possible. Because when you dream big, it changes your pursuit. It changes your vision. But look, what comes with that is a price you have to pay. Meaning, again, back to our earlier point, you can't just dream it. You have to take action. The third pillar in finding success is you have to constantly be improving. You have to be getting better. The hard truth is the world doesn't care about you winning. The world doesn't care about you being successful. It's not that the world and people don't like you, but everybody is running this race. Everybody is trying to improve and get better. And so we can't just say we want to get better. If we're going to talk about getting better, we got to be about getting better. And that could be, I really believe there's two things that can really change who you become: what you consume and who you surround yourself with. And I can tell you this, probably people that you've interviewed, presence, have all said these similar things. Hopefully this is resonating with your listener. This can change who you become. I don't care what background you come from. When you get around an environment of successful people, of opportunity, you start believing in your own mind, this is possible. But we got to put forth the effort. And again, most people aren't willing to give up what they want now for what they want most. We have to start somewhere, even if our capabilities are small. The person that's crawling will end up lapping the person that's sitting on the couch. So make incremental improvement. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, presence, my uncle introduced me to the sport of boxing. Really, because I was always getting in trouble. I was always getting in fights. I was a disgruntled young man. I was angry. I was mad. And it was a way to lash out. And he introduced me to this sport. And I went to my first practice. And, you know, I was kind of arrogant. And I was just there looking for trouble, really. And I remember the trainer came over to me and he said, hey, Jeff, I'm partnering you with John. John's going to drop this big ball on your stomach. And I want you to count out loud 20 times. No problem. So he starts dropping the ball and I'm counting out loud, 18, 19, 20. And I get up, no problem. I'm good. And the trainer comes over to me and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, you told me to count out loud the 20. He said, oh, my mistake. I didn't want you to even begin counting until you started feeling pain. And he went on to say, Jeff, you're going to have to understand something. You're going to sweat in this gym, or you're going to bleed in the fight. There's going to be pain either way. I assume that you have the pain in the training versus bleeding in the ring. And that's what I would tell your listener on this third point. Yes, there's going to be pain. There's pain in winning, but there's also pain in losing. And if you're a listener today that has a similar background than me, you know what that pain feels like. You know what the pain of losing feels like. Yes, there's pain in winning, but I assume if there's going to be pain either way, we win. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up to get the very thing that you're dreaming about? And set your goals higher than you think are possible. Those are two things that I would change if I could go back and I could do it again.
That's really inspiring. In terms of, you mentioned mentors. So who were the mentors that you found, and how, as a young person, would you recommend someone to find a mentor?
Man, that's a good question. Look in your circle first, because it'll be more comfortable. Whether that be a church you attend, a nonprofit that you work in, or the business you're in. If you are looking, if you're currently in a business, then I would tell you to ask questions about mentors. And what you'll find along the way is that not all mentors are the same. I always say hire slow and fire fast, meaning get a mentor, but if they're not working out, move fast away from them. You'll know it when you have the right mentor, but you should be asking this question to everybody in your network. Who do you know that I don't know that I need to meet? This comes from the great John Maxwell. I learned this from John many, many years ago, and he's been one of the greatest mentors to me. And I can tell you, just asking that question, who do you know that I don't know that I need to know, has helped drive some of the best mentors that I've ever had in my life. And some of those were mentors on a personal level, like how to act, how to speak, how to dress. Some of those were on a professional level. Like I remember my first journey into leadership. I knew I aspired to lead. I wanted to make big impact, but I'd never been there before. I didn't have the experience. And many people find that fear of success because they feel inadequate. They don't feel qualified. But then there's those that take the leap. Look no further than Presence. At a very young in her tenure, starting an international podcast and helping people, making deposits in other lives. But great mentors would help in that journey. It's no different. You don't get too high, don't get too low. Find those mentors regardless of where you are on your journey. They can literally change because, again, I said two things can change who you become, what you consume and who you hang out with. Find people that have been where you want to go. Don't surround yourself with the same tribe as you. Jim Rohn said it best when he said, you're the product of the five people you spend your most time with. Don't get around people that then you're better at just for self-gratification. I'm better than everybody around me. That doesn't make you good. That makes you better than your circle. You should be getting around people that are pulling you up. Mentors can do this. Leadership, sales, success, these things are better caught than they are taught. If that wasn't true, you could read a book and win. There's plenty of books out there on winning, and everybody can read them, but not everybody wins. Yes, read the book. That's the consuming. But then get around it, because success is much better caught than it is taught. And that's the heart of mentoring.
So going back to the topic of leadership, and now you decided to, after being really successful in the corporate world, decided to go and start your own business. What made you decide to take that leap?
I think there's a big gap. I think there's a big void in leadership in every area, in government, in the business world, in the home. There's a big gap in leadership. And as leadership goes, so goes the organization. I don't care how good your product is, your service is. Having a good product and service without great leadership is like having a beautiful sports car without an engine. It looks great, but it will go nowhere. I don't care how great your product or your service is. If you don't combine it with great leadership, it's never going to see its fullest potential. And so as I looked at the marketplace, as I looked at personal development space, there's a big void here in business. And so many times people start out on this business journey because they had an idea or a thought or whatever it might be, but then they fail because they don't lead people well. And we've heard the saying, you lead people, you manage process. And we get that wrong so many times. And I just know that people helped me along my journey. I spent the last almost 30 years of my life developing myself into leadership, business, and sales excellence. And now I want to spend the rest of my life reaching back and pulling as many people up as I can. So I think there's a big void there. And You know, for me, it's a personal mission. It's not a wealth mission. Look, I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to make as much money as I can because I know when it's in my hands, I can do good with it. But I had a very good job. I was doing very well at a very large organization, and I had a lot of promotion opportunity left. But really why I made the leap was is because I realized at some point I'm going to be called out of this earth, and my obituary is going to be written, and I feel like the pen's in my hand today. I'm going to start writing it. And I wanted to do something that I knew that when I left this world, I left a mark and that I could make an impact. And I can tell you this, I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary in 5 days. I've never felt more fulfilled in my life, even through this crazy pandemic. There's nothing better than helping people get better and reach their potential and accomplishing their objectives. And that's really the reason for the leap and the reason why this space is because there is a massive gap. You teach what you know, but you'll reproduce who you are. And leaders, by and large, aren't doing that well. And I have the opportunity to help assist with that.
That's really inspiring. In terms of like, what would you tell Gen Zs who are 18 to 25 year olds who know they want to be at the top in terms of leadership? What do they need to pay attention to, or any action they should take or habits to like maximize their leadership potential in the long run?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's some of the things we've already discussed. I think early in your tenure, and this never goes away, but early in your tenure, you're going to have low skill and high desire. You're going to be coming into the world with very big dreams and very high desire, and you want to get there so fast. You want to accelerate, but you have low skill. So there comes some tension with that because you know where you want to go, but you're just not sure how to get there. You don't have all the tools in your tool belt to get there. I would say the first thing that I would tell somebody that's early on their journey is have some patience. You know, be very realistic about where you're going. Get very good at setting goals. Goal setting is really, really big, and it's never too early to start that. And some quick things that I would tell you, and Napoleon Hill talks about this a lot in his book, Think and Grow Rich, determine what you want to achieve. That's the first step. Most people don't even do that. Decide what you're willing to give in return for what you desire, and start to develop your plan. Write a clear and concise statement about what you want, when you want it, and what you're willing to give. And read that statement aloud twice. Every single day, when you wake up, when you go to bed, this is going to get you in a frame of mind, but you have to have patience. So set realistic goals, have patience on the journey. Remember that everything starts in seed form. You can't plant a seed and expect, you know, fruit at the end of one day. You plant a seed, you cultivate the seed. And if you're doing that the right way, fruit is inevitable. And so the other thing I would say to that young person starting out is start acting now like the person that you want to become. What does that mean? Well, that means get in camp four, like we talked about earlier. Don't do what everybody else does at your age, at your tenure of your position. Know what others don't know so that you can stand out. Know your company's mission statement, verbatim, learn it to memory. You know, you can probably sing all the top five songs on the charts right now, and that's not doing anything for you. I'm asking you to learn a five-sentence thing that's near and dear to the organization that you're in, so that when you are in a meeting and somebody says, why is this important? And you quote the mission statement, everybody leaves the meeting and they're like, oh my gosh, who was that? Oh, that was Presence. Wow, she's sharp. No kidding. It's because you were willing to do something other people weren't willing to do. We've heard it said many, many times, if you do what everybody else does, you're going to get what everybody else has. You have to do things that nobody else is doing to get things that nobody else has. That's going to come with some challenge. So if you are in a job working for an employer, you should spend a lot of time on their website, learning their history, learning how they got to where they are. You should be asking senior leaders in your organization for time on their calendar, you know, to build a network, to build advocates, to find those mentors, and set realistic goals along the journey, and surround yourself with great people. I think those are things that that really helped me, because it wasn't like I was coming with this great degree and all of this training. I just came with high desire, and I got around the right people.
Mm. Like, did you, I guess there's, well, actually, I was just thinking, because there's two types of people who like have not the best background. They either go into, you know, even worse, or don't change, and the other is like they go on to do crazy, amazing things. So I guess for you, like, what was the biggest, you know, thing that really, you know, like, did you see yourself being like where you are today before?
No, not even close. And that's a challenge to that person that's listening. Like I mentioned earlier, dream bigger than you think you can go. Like, if you would have told me when I was 15 years old that you were going to be a top leader in a Fortune 500 company in corporate America, I would have told you you were talking to the wrong guy. You obviously don't know where I come from. You obviously don't know who I am. Like, you got me confused with somebody else. But I can tell you this. I wish I would have dreamed bigger. And why that's important is I would have planned differently. Because my dream was to, you know, just get an entry-level job that had medical benefits. Like, that was my goal. The goal isn't to do better than you were. The goal is to reach your potential. Never forget that. You have a potential. That's the goal. Your competition isn't the person in the cube to your left or to your right. Your goal isn't to be better than your parents were. Your goal isn't to have a better life than you had as a child. Your goal is your potential. And you may not even know what that is, but dream big with me for a moment and think about what that possibility looks like. Dream bigger than what you think is possible, because it will change how you feel and how you think about that. Then what you start thinking about is, who's in that spot now that I need to know, that I need to connect with? I mean, think about how we connected, Presence. You were intentional. Like, here we are now in a podcast episode, right? I do the same things. One of my biggest authors that I love the most is Michael Watkins. I sent him a LinkedIn message and had him on my show. One of the top 100 best business books of all times. You have to be intentional about what you want, because nobody wants it more than you. And so we got to dream big, and then we got to plan accordingly. It doesn't stop at the dream. We've got to plan that. But I can tell you this, for that person, and I feel like the show's kind of taken the tone of the underdog, I don't care where you've come from. Yes, does it matter? Yes, does it provide a harder road? Yes, are there setbacks along the way? Yes, those things are all true. But I want you to see your setback as an opportunity for a comeback. You know, it's going to make for a greater story. And nobody is excused from success. And I'm telling you, if I can find any level of success, anybody can. So you can either get really good at making excuses, or you can get really good at getting results. But the last I checked, being good at making excuses does not pay well. Don't become a professional excuse maker, because when you lay your head on the pillow at night, you know what the truth is. You can fool the world. Matter of fact, you know, and I don't know your whole background, Presence, but I know for me, the world and society would have accepted me being a failure, would accepted me being incarcerated, would accepted me being a drug addict. Why? Well, based off of my childhood, that would have been a logical outcome. And society would have been fine with that. And they would have said, look, man, you were dealt a bad hand. At some point, back to point number three, engage your motivation. You have to say, no, it's not going to be me. I'm going to change it. It's not going to be like that after I die. Every generation after me is going to be different, and I'm going to be the reason why. Is it a harder road? Absolutely it is, but there's going to be pain. Let's win. Put in the time that you need to put in to win, and it's possible.
Super. Every time I go on a podcast, I'm just like super pumped up, just like super inspiring. I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait for everyone to listen. I guess a question that is more related to you, which I ask every guest, is what's your vision in terms of what does the next best version of yourself look like?
You know, I really, my mission is to reach as many people as I can in development. You know, I was just on one of my executive group calls before jumping on with you. And I told that group, one of the things that I get excited about the most is whenever they send an email or a text that they executed on something I taught them and they win. And so for me, I see, again, I'm not going to apologize for this. I want a bigger audience. I want to make bigger impact. You know, I feel like I have a lot left to give. By all means, there's a lot of greatness in the world, but you know, I really, I'm on a quest for more exposure, and I'm in the process of scaling my business so that I can reach more people through technology and group training and online and all of this stuff. But you know, for me, it is really legacy driven, and seeing what I can do to reproduce myself and others, you know, as I build this business and this organization to help make people better, help make organizations thrive. Because when you're in that type of growth, it's inevitable that opportunity comes. It's not if, it's only when. And so if I can help people, if I can play a small part in that business's growth or that person's growth and better in personal development or business development, that growth then creates opportunity. And that's what I want to be a part of. So I can see Jeff Hancher Enterprises becoming an international brand. That's really my big goal.
I believe in that. I'm excited to see how it goes. And the final question I ask every guest is, what challenge do you have for listeners today after listening to the podcast? What is an action step that you would encourage them to do?
I would tell you, one thing that I see missed a lot is the goal setting. We hear about it a lot, but there's very, very little execution with it. And I remember I read Lead the Field by Earl Nightingale, and it's like very old school teaching. But I will tell you, there were so many great nuggets in that. And back to not getting the interview, that was the first book. I was 22 years old at that time. And this is me being very transparent. I had never read a book in my life up to that point. I read enough in high school just to get the essay written and get, you know, a decent passing grade. But I'd never read a book cover to cover in my life. Lead the Field was the first book I read cover to cover. And one of my first mentors gave me that book. The biggest takeaway I took from that book is the power of goal setting. And here's the thing. You've heard this before. If you're listening to this podcast, it's because you care about your personal development and you've heard this before, but rarely do people execute on it. So my challenge to people would be, one, dream big, and two, don't stop at the dream, begin to execute. And again, follow the steps of goal setting. Determine what it is that you want to achieve. That's a great first step, and put thought into that. And then go to step two, decide what you're willing or need to give in return. There's no free lunches. You have to give something to get something, and then make it time bound. Decide by what date you want to achieve this goal. This creates pressure for you to perform and do what it is that you need to do. And then start to develop your plan. Don't wait for perfection to start this plan. You know, you might have heard the saying, it's tough to steer a parked car. Man, you get that car going even 1 or 2 miles per hour, it's much easier to steer. Get going. Don't worry about a perfect plan. Get going and modify along the way. And then the step five in that process is write a clear and concise statement of what you want, when you want it by, and what you're willing to give. So now we have this battle cry. This is our statement on the journey. And then the last piece is twice a day, read that statement out loud, early in the morning, late at night, preferably in the mirror, because then this is affirmation. Now you might be saying, Jeff, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. The greatest minds that have ever walked the face of the earth agree in this principle. I'm telling you, in my own life, it has worked. So that would be my advice. And then obviously we talked about it before. consume the right things, get around the right people. They can literally change your life. I don't care how broken you are. If you consume the right things and get around the right people, it will change how your life ends.
Thank you so much, for coming onto the podcast. I am super grateful. How can people reach out to you to find out more about what you do?
There's a couple of ways. Social media is one of those. LinkedIn, I'm under my name, Jeff Hanscher. Instagram and Facebook, I'm under the Champion Forum. I do have a podcast as well that comes out weekly, primarily, you know, geared towards leadership and development. That comes out every Thursday, and it's under the Champion Forum podcast. Lastly, my website is thechampionforum.com. The big push that we have right now is our leadership groups. These are leaders that are looking to gain incremental improvement in their leadership journey. And we also have executive masterminds for those senior leaders or business owners. We'd love to have people be a part of that as well.
So you just listened to another awesome episode, and I would say go and listen to another one, but no. Don't even think about listening to another episode. Go and take action now. And if you want to share with me what you did, then feel free to tag me on a post on Instagram at presence_instarsofaction. And yeah, until next time, guys. And remember, it starts with action.